This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our worship today. If you are listening over KLBB Radio in Stillwater, Minnesota, we invite you to listen at the end of the program for a special message. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will also be given. We thank you for listening to Christian Crusaders this day and invite you to listen to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Let's pray. Almighty God, it's with reverence and gratitude and awe that we worship you this day. We thank and praise you for your steadfast love and mercy, which you've shown us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Sweet relief. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
It was the end of a long day of ministry. The darkness was settling in. Supper was over. Jesus was off praying in the hills somewhere nearby. The disciples were sitting around the campfire, telling stories, discussing events of the day, telling jokes. Eventually, though, the conversation ran out, and they quietly stared at the fire as they settled in for the evening. After a rather long pause, Philip, one of the disciples, said, "You know, I don't get it. Doesn't he turn anyone away?" Someone asked, "What do you mean, Philip?" Philip said, "I was thinking about that Canaanite woman who chased after us today and how Jesus handled the situation." Judas snorted, "Yeah, now I've seen everything. Helping Canaanites, our enemies. I just don't get that." Peter responded, "Yes, he surprised me today too. But now that I think about it, Jesus has never been too picky about who he ministers to." James chuckled, "I'll say, what about that prostitute that he was with the other day? That got the Pharisees excited." "And what about some of the other riffraff he's made time for?" added Bartholomew. Somebody else chimed in, "Yeah, like that centurion soldier we met a few days back with that sick servant. I was shocked by that one and how Jesus handled it." Andrew said, "Yeah, he does seem to be interested in all kinds of people, no matter what their background." Matthew, a former tax collector himself, quietly added, "And I, for one, am glad he is." At that comment, everyone got quiet again and just stared into the dancing flames of the campfire, wondering about what they had seen and heard that day following Jesus. He doesn't turn anyone away. He seems interested in all kinds of people. That's the good news that jumps out of this story from Matthew's gospel today. Christ's love and mercy knows no limits. Who you are, what you've done or haven't done with your life, doesn't seem to stop him from caring about you and acting with mercy as you turn to him in faith. Look at that episode again. Jesus and the disciples or offer some rest and relaxation in a foreign country. It's the land of the non-Jew. Jesus has already earlier on in this particular chapter run into rejection and objections from his own people in his own land. He needed a break, I suppose, so off he took his disciples to spend a little private time ministering to them and resting. As they're walking along the way, a woman began to come after him. She came out of her home when she saw him and began to yell and try to get his attention. This woman belonged to a people who had a long history of being bitter enemies of God's chosen people, Israel. They worshiped fertility gods. Jesus even referred to them at another time as a wicked people who were at the bottom of the spiritual ladder. They were considered unclean and referred to as dogs by Israelis. This woman approached Jesus. She knelt before him. She expressed a humble faith in him, calling him the Son of David, Messiah, begging him for mercy and help. She had a sick, possessed daughter. Jesus, at first, acted like he didn't even notice her. And the disciples begin to get nervous. She's causing a real scene. And they get after Jesus to send her away. An interesting conversation ensues between Jesus and the disciples and this yelling woman. I cannot claim to understand the mindset of Jesus as we look at his initial non-response of ignoring her and then the harsh words that were spoken in front of her. Some scholars suggest that perhaps we are seeing Jesus in a conundrum, that this is a sort of soliloquy over whether Jesus was considering it time to minister to non-Jews at this point in his ministry. Earlier on, when he sent the disciples out, he said, "Go only to the house of Israel." Others claim that perhaps Jesus was using the occasion to teach the disciples an important lesson. In his ignoring the woman at first, and then with the words he spoke, which were very harsh, Jesus was mirroring their own prejudices and unloving attitudes towards outsiders of the Jewish faith, people that were different than themselves. Perhaps he was even testing them to see if they would possibly express love in the direction of this person who was howling and asking for help for her very sick daughter. Were the boundary lines firmly set for them? Still others suggest that Jesus was testing this woman's faith, which, of course, if it was a test, she passed with flying colors, didn't she? As she persisted, she aced the test, as Jesus exclaimed, "Woman, great is your faith." Out of all these notions and suggestions, I don't know who's right. We can't know the mind of Jesus here. Maybe there's some truth in all of those suggestions. But one thing I do know is what is there in print before us. While the disciples wanted to get away from this Canaanite woman as she cried out in faith for attention and help on behalf of her daughter, Jesus eventually responded to that cry of faith by helping her as he poured out his power and mercy on this outsider asking for help. I also know that according to the Old Testament, God's plan all along, since the time when he first called Abraham and Sarah, was he wanted to bring his blessing to all the nations of the world, Jew and non-Jew. Isaiah the prophet talked of Israel being a light to the nations, that the temple would one day be a house of prayer for all the nations of the earth, that God actually cares about the whole world, about all of us. And I know that Jesus said in other places in the Gospels that he came for all of us, for the whole world. After all of us were created in his image and precious in his sight. All of us were created to live in a personal relationship with the God who created us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us face the consequences of our sin and need help. All of us were died for on the cross at Calvary. And all of us are offered the gift of eternal life through faith in the risen Jesus Christ. And all of us who will turn to him in faith will find mercy and help. If you are carrying around a load of regrets from your past, Jesus will take it from you and forgive you of your sins. That's why he died upon the cross and rose again. Years ago, there were headlines in some of the larger newspapers in our country that carried a story about a Long Island garbage barge that meandered around for 6,000 miles searching for a home to dump its load. The smell must have been unbearable. I have run into more than a few people that wander around carrying guilt and shame that they don't know what to do with. The gospel says there's a place to take it. Bring it to Jesus Christ. You can leave your garbage at the foot of the cross. Confess those things. Turn your life over to Him, and you'll walk away clean and forgiven. You'll receive His mercy. And if you come to Him saying, "Lord, I have made an absolute mess of my life, and I'm confused about life and what makes it work. Will you lead me into a new life and teach me how to live as God intended, to be a citizen of your kingdom?" Jesus will not turn away from you, but will welcome you and lead you and show you what makes life work. Many have discovered throughout the ages that as they call upon Christ in their sorrows and hurts and ask for His strength and His presence, He responds with mercy and goodness. I find this episode of our Lord's ministry to be a lovely picture of Jesus and the wideness of His mercy. No matter what your past is or what false gods you've been chasing after and worshiping in your life, if you'll turn to Him, He will not turn you away. There may be someone listening into this service today, and I hope you're listening closely. Are you someone needing Christ's help? Has your life gotten out of control, and you've discovered that you really aren't as smart as you thought you were, and you don't know what makes life work? Are you carrying around a burden of guilt about past things you wish you hadn't said or done? Turn to Christ and know that He loves you. He died on a cross for you and rose again, and He will not turn you away. No matter what your past has been, God's grace and forgiveness and promises are greater than any sin. This message also has implications for those of us who have been blessed by His mercy along the way, who consider ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, His church. If our Master Jesus loved all kinds of messed up, unlovable people, can we do any less? Peter later on had to relearn this lesson. After Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit opened his eyes in the home of an Italian soldier named Cornelius, to see that God cares about all the peoples of the world, that He wants a relationship with each one of them, that Jesus is interested in all kinds of people, Peter responded to this eye-opener with these words after that encounter with Cornelius, which we find in chapter 10 of Acts. "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality." It changed the Christian church from being a small messianic sect to a world movement, inviting all nations, all peoples, to hear the good news of God's rescue through Jesus Christ and to be saved by placing their trust in Him and what He has done for us. There are people that cross our path and even approach us and test us and are difficult to love. Admit it. There are some that we just find difficult to love. This story is meant to stretch you and me as we encounter people like that. Will you love them in Christ's name? It appeals to us. Will you love them in Christ's name? In his book, Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, that I read a few years ago, Pastor Jerry Cook told the story of an angry phone call he received from a fellow pastor of another church in his area. The pastor was very upset because some of his members were leaving his church to go to Cook's church. And Cook just let him speak his mind. In the course of the conversation, the pastor even hinted that the people who were coming to Cook's church were those who were beaten up by life and broken by their sinfulness and personal tragedies, and they would never be able to contribute much of anything to the life of his church. And near the end of the conversation, he even said, "You know what you are out there? You're nothing but a bunch of garbage collectors." And then he hung up. Pastor Cook said, "As I thought about it, that's exactly what we are in the church, in a way, garbage collectors. After all, what were we before Jesus found us? Weren't we all like garbage? And Jesus finds us and recycles us." He mentioned in a sermon one day later on about this conversation he'd had with this pastor. And a man came up to him after the service. He owned the local garbage company. He said, "Let me tell you something about garbage, Pastor. There's a landfill near here where for 10 years we dumped a lot of garbage. And you know what's there now? A beautiful park." And Cook says in his book, "I've seen human garbage become beautiful too. I've seen the stench of sin turned into the fragrance of heaven." That's our business. We can't worry about what critics think or say. Where is God going to send the garbage for recycling if he can't put it on our doorstep? That's a good question. There are a lot of people who need to hear and experience the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Sinners just like you and me. Some very unlovable, whose histories may be different from our own, who may be viewed as write-offs in society's sight, as well as in our own sight. When they cross your path or enter your church seeking answers and help, according to Scripture, each one of them is loved by the same Jesus who has loved and forgiven you. And as you're struggling with them, the question I leave you with is this: where else is God to send them for rescue and restoration, if not to his own? There's a wideness in his mercy. Amen.
Like the whiteness of the sea.
Let's pray. Merciful God, like the woman that came to Jesus that day, we need you in our lives. Without you, we're like lost sheep, helpless and defenseless, and without hope. So come into our lives and take over, reside within us. And as Jesus stretched those disciples that day, we ask that you would stretch us, show us your ways, teach us about life in the kingdom. Help us to live and enjoy the abundant life with Christ at the center. Help us to show his love and mercy to the people you bring to our doorstep. In his precious name, we ask for this help. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you in your walk with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Please address your letters and gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We praise God for your gifts and prayers. If you are listening to Christian Crusaders this day over radio station KLBB in Stillwater, Minnesota, we invite you to write or call our office to receive a special thank you gift. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's program are also available. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.